Good morning, everyone. I'm Lori Earle. I am the presiding judge in Sacramento, and I'm co-chair of the Budget Advisory Committee, along with Zlatko Theodorovich, who's the fiscal director of fiscal services for the AOC. We want to welcome you this morning. We will do about an hour of education in terms of the budget cycle, state budget process, internal budget process, and then about 11 o'clock, we will start our business meeting, so we'll have some other folks arriving, other committee members who will arrive for that. I know some are running a bit late because of flight complications. But I did want to welcome you this morning. You see that we are on the air, and you probably have heard by now that Mr. Theodorovich and I have taken a step to publicly air our meetings. It was a concern of the legislature and other folks along the way when we worked on the funding methodology, and we thought, why not? With an issue as important as public money, that it would be appropriate to open the meeting. And so I'll ask you to be mindful of that as we work through our day. And I'll do another greeting at 11 when everyone else joins us. What I'd like to do is give Zlatko the opportunity to say a few words.
Perfect. Thank you, Judge Earle. Yes, I'm Zlatko Theodorovich, and I've been here for just a little over 2 years as the Director of Fiscal Services Office. Prior to that, for 14 years, I worked at the State Department of Finance, working on branch budget issues, as well as the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, Governor's Office, Legislature's Budget, Emergency Services, Tribal Gaming, had a variety of different budget issues, was very involved in a number of things that are currently impacting the branch, be it realignment, the security, AB 109, things like that. So I fortunately do have some experience coming here from the side of the administration and working with the legislature and external stakeholders. So I try to bring that perspective, and I know that some other folks also bring that similar perspective, and I think we've used that experience to sort of help forward the branch's efforts as we try to forge a better road for us fiscally. So I do appreciate you all being here today. I think we have a lot of important work to do, and we're in, I think, a very important time as it relates to the budget for the branch.
Great, thank you. Before we get started on the educational session, Zlatko and I wanted to get just an idea of how many of you have familiarity with the state budget process, how many of you are brand new to it. So can I just see a show of hands of those of you who are familiar with the state budget process and how that works? Anyone have no idea or has not been exposed to this before? Looks like everybody has some working knowledge.
Only what I read in the paper.
Okay. Don't always believe what you read in the paper. All right. Well, thank you. Zlatko?
Yes. I will then, I have a PowerPoint that I'll walk through, and as much as a refresher, given that nearly everybody indicated some familiarity with the budget process. And I would like to remind you, I have no problem if you interrupt me and say, Zlatko, can you explain something further? This is an opportunity for you to ask questions. And if there's something that you don't recall at the moment and you want to ask later on, please feel free to email me. My staff are wonderful, and we'll promptly get back to you in terms of your questions. But again, if you have questions or you think that there's something that you didn't quite understand, feel free to say, interrupt me and ask a question. So I see we've also have Judge Boris from Orange who's joined the table. So welcome, Judge Boris. So with that, I will like I said, start this budget overview. We did send out materials to give you some point of reference. In particular, the council report from last year's July council meeting that dealt with a number of very important budget allocation issues. Last year, when we were facing this budget, we had had the branch was reduced in general fund by $444 million. There were a lot of prescriptive language in the budget telling us how to take the cuts, how to allocate the cuts, but there were a lot of sort of normal run-of-the-mill sorts of allocations that were also discussed in the materials that we presented to you. Second was included in the materials was the very important April 24th council meeting in which the new funding methodology was discussed and adopted in general for the branch and the trial courts in particular. Very long report, but it's a critical report, and we know it'll be a subject of discussion today in terms of updates and amendments to that methodology, and we're looking forward to that conversation. And finally, in the pre-materials, also gave you sort of a five-year history of the budget cuts that the branch has suffered at this point, and just to give you a sense as to how the budget has been reduced over the since 2008-09. I think it gives you a good frame of reference, and those materials are there for you. We will have a quick discussion about where we are right now as we head into the 13-14 fiscal year. So, any questions at this point before I continue? All right, very good. So, just give you a sense as to where the judicial branch fits in the overall state budget. We haven't updated these based on the most recent budget act, but the numbers are still in the same context. Over the overall state budget of approximately $145 billion, the judicial branch is a little over $3 billion, represents 2.1% of the state budget. That's when you talk about all funds. Because we have more, and we'll talk about it later. There's more than just, say, the general fund or the trial court trust fund. We have a number of funds that fund the branch, including our construction program. But 2%, you know, it's not a lot. And at the beginning of 7-8, it was about 2.2%. So in terms of total budget and our share of the state budget, we've been in that 2% range. Yes?
Is that PowerPoint available somewhere?
Yeah, we have them on the website, at the court's website, and we'll be updating those for the Budget Act. So those are available, and those are important. We sort of walk carrying around tools. We can email you the PowerPoint as well so you have it for future reference.
Thank you.
And then this is an important point, is the what share of the state general fund has the branch been as of the governor's budget? And it was 1%. Basically, the point that has been made is that for every dollar of general fund resources we have, the branch gets one cent of that. That's really not that much, and there's been some issues where in our advocacy discussions, we've talked about the fact that the National Center did a survey, and they see that about 2% of state general fund resources are dedicated to their judicial system. So we're half of that number that we were seeing statewide. So it's important. It just shows sort of the lack of general fund investment in the branch as a share of overall state general fund expenditures. We used to be at a higher number. We used to be around 2%, and that has declined in large part because of the budget cuts. But the reason that our 2% overall state share is not declined is because what have we done? We found ways to backfill cuts. And so the budget working group in the past was working to divert construction funds. We were increasing fees. There were a number of things, diverting internal resources from projects like our case management system to address the budget cut. So while the general fund has gone down, we have found ways to try and mitigate, not entirely, the budget cuts that we've faced. So then in terms of context for the branch, the trial courts represent a lion's share, as you all well know, of the total state branch budget. Almost 80% of all the branch's resources go to the trial courts. Courts of Appeals, about $200 million. The Supreme Court's $50 million. The Council and AOC are at about $150 million. And then the remainder is for our construction fund and Habeas Corpus Resource Center. So in terms of how the state is budgets for the branch is that you have individual appropriations for the Supreme Court, so to speak, their credit limit, how much we can spend. The Supreme Court, Courts of Appeal, AOC, HCRC, and the Judicial Branch Facility Program are established. They're set amounts, and that's what the allocation is to those entities, and there's not a judicial council process per se to define how those funds are spent. But when you get to the trial courts, there's an amount at the very high level that's trial court operations. And then it's the responsibility of counsel through the work of the Budget Advisory Committee on how to allocate those dollars to each individual trial court. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that process. But as, like I said, you can see that the the trial courts are the lion's share of the resources coming out of the branch. So then what is our authorities? We have the legislature appropriating the funding based on, in part, what the governor's budget was proposed and the council allocates. We've discussed that, and that's what we'll be doing today. We'll be recommending allocations to the council for their consideration in the July meeting. Wanted to sort of raise an issue that's been coming up over the last several years, and it's what has been the independence of the judiciary relative to its budget. We've had increased reporting, decreased flexibility in our budget. We used to have more ability to move money around within the branch. We used to have something called the state appropriations limit funding adjustment. It was an amount that was provided to the branch over three fiscal years. We got automatic increases as the economy turned. We lost those increases and started to get cuts. So while courts were planning on, you know, multi-year expenditure plans of some sort of rising level, when the economy turned, we still had pass on increasing expenditures, and yet revenues to the branch were declining. So puts us in a really tough position when you had made commitments, say, in a bargaining of, you know, multi-year plans, and yet all of a sudden the funding stopped, and not only did it not remain flat, it actually declined. So it's clearly put, you know, trial courts in a difficult position in managing all of those responsibilities. We've increased audits. As you know, we've had issues with the Bureau of State Audits auditing for compliance of our contracts and, in fact, the imposition of the judicial branch contracting law. That all came through the budget, so it's somewhat strange why you think an audit process is happening in budget. But the legislature has seen the budget as an opportunity to sort of impose new policy issues upon the branch, be it the public information requests, the audits, and, in fact, just most recently we've had this discussion of the Open Meetings Act. So budget has had not only just the numbers, the dollars, but has also had some significant policy issues. And then recently we've seen the Department of Finance take a much heightened role in the affairs of the branch. In particular, there was their proposal of last year for the 1% fund balance. This was sort of an out of the blue, not really expecting to see some sort of major policy proposal come out of the administration, the May revision for the 12-13 fiscal year. And that's going to have major, major implications, as we all know, for the fiscal affairs of the trial court. So, I mean, on the one hand, it sort of was unexpected to have the Department of Finance become more active, but I think we now have to find a way strategically to work with the executive branch and the governor's office, not just the legislative partners, on how we manage budget affairs. So with the additional reporting and all of the restrictions, we see difficulty in managing funds locally. It was not just at a state level, but we've talked about the fact that fund balances have been restricted to 1%. And so that's going to have a serious implication on your operations. We think that it is an issue that we're going to be fighting for to get some relief from. We think that it doesn't seem appropriate that you have to come back to the state for any funding beyond your normal operations. We don't have the resources at the trial court trust fund level to sort of fund all of the needs of the trial courts, be it IT. I know everybody's been concerned about that. There's security and whatnot. We'll talk about budget change proposals later on, but it really puts a hamper on each trial court's ability to manage its fiscal affairs when we've had the 1% fund balance. So I just want to walk through with you next is the sort of critical dates of the state budget process. Early September, budget change proposals are due to the Department of Finance. Those will be the requests that the branch will make, asking for budget adjustments for the subsequent fiscal year. So we have to plan now for something that's going to happen a year from now in hopes that we get these additional resources. January 10 is when the governor's budget is released. Legislative Analyst Office does a review, provides input and their thoughts on the governor's budget. March through May, we have legislative budget hearings. Very important that we sort of maintain our advocacy through that process. May 14th is a statutory required release of the May revision. It is required by the governor to submit an updated budget that reflects the most recent revenue projections as well as caseload, say for Proposition 98 education. So that's the statutorily required deadline. June 15th is the constitution deadline for passage of the budget bill by the legislature, and the governor has 12 days to sign or veto the budget bill or make amendments with the blue pencil, and then we have July 1, the new fiscal year begins. So that those are those key points. January 10, May 14th are when we will see from the administration changes to the budget through the March legislative budget hearings, when we'll see the legislature's take on the governor's budget. So we try the best we can. I think we've called together folks through SEAC and the PJ Advisory Committee when there are important issues. For example, when the governor's budget comes out, we've done branch-wide phone calls to give details about what's in the budget rather than having you read it in the press or hear it from someone else. We figure we'd like to hear a consistent story and message about what's in the budget. So we're trying as best we can to consistently and provide you input on what it is that is happening budgetarily. There's major changes that happen during the legislative process, calling all the branch leaders together and making sure everybody's aware. And I think that's been a really good improvement over the last couple of years. So like I said, you're well aware in terms of the budget making process. There's the LAO, there's meetings, there's the budget hearings. Again, we're soliciting feedback from all of the branch leadership on how we should proceed. Department of Finance is the key input to the governor in terms of budget building and the key advisor. Just to let you know, after 5 years, the director of the Department of Finance, Ana Mata Santos, is leaving in September, and so her current chief deputy over budgets, Michael Cohen, will be taking over. He came from the legislative analyst's office, and so he has that analyst perspective, and so I've known him for many years. And so he is, he's going to have to uphold the governor's position, but it's a new voice, a new face in terms of the Department of Finance. So I think we're going to have to, engage with the new director of finance in this upcoming budget process. And then the council. Obviously, the council then is making providing input to both the legislature and the governor's office, and we're soliciting input, obviously, from the courts through the budget advisory committee in terms of, say, the budget change proposals. We'll be talking about that later on. It is it's very much an iterative process. It is not a establish a policy and then see it through to the end. We will have to readjust, reevaluate based on the feedback. Through this most recent spring budget process, we revised our request based on what was sort of seen out there in the legislative landscape, again, based on input from branch leadership. And so, again, it's a very iterative process, and keeping all apprised of what's going on in the budget will help us all make better decisions and offer better policy solutions for the branch. So what does the Budget Advisory Committee do? Fundamentally, you're providing recommendations on how the branch can allocate its resources, and you represent a broad array of trial courts from across the state and from different sizes. You help us in budget preparation. You help the branch figure out how to allocate new money, or if in the unfortunate circumstance, how to take money away. That's something that none of us like. We have individual allocations for specific purposes that you will help distribute funding for. We will meet as necessary. There will be times where we will be meeting in person like this. We've met in Sacramento. Depending on the logistics, there's issues there. We will meet by phone when necessary. Sometimes we'll just send out emails to inform you all of what is going on. And so, again, it's a constant flow of information. We need feedback. We need input to do the best job we can to represent the branch going forward. So in terms of the first business of the year, there's a special council meeting that was established to deal with budget. And that's why we have this meeting established so early in the fiscal year, is because we need to get allocations out to the trial courts. So you know what your budgets are, what revenues you'll be getting, and how they align with what your expected budgets will be. So that's why this meeting is important, and we need to have time to deliberate on all of the allocation issues that will be coming forward. There are, as I said, specific allocations that the council needs to make by law, and once those allocations are made, then my staff, we work to actually distribute those funds out to the trial courts on a monthly basis. We work with the state controller's office to distribute those funds, and so the CEOs are well aware when payday comes every month, the 15th approximately, is when the distributions actually happen from the state. I think we're this year, if Stephen's here, we're actually going to be trying to get more of the distributions out in the front part of this fiscal year so that you have more cash in hand. While there's some courts that still have fund balance, we're sensitive to the fact that the cuts of late have drained some trial courts' fund balances down to a point where they're getting too close on managing cash flow. And so we've been looking to try and front load a bit some of the distributions this year. So again, we're trying to help you so that you're not running around looking for that dollar when you need to spend it. We're monitoring cash for you. So again, what does my staff do? They're great. I'm very lucky to have the staff that I do working on these issues. And if you haven't already, and if you don't know, Stephen Chang and his staff are consistently and constantly getting questions, emails, phone calls. They're a great resource, wealth of knowledge, and I'm really happy to have them. And like I said, they will provide you, you and your staff, answers to questions. They will track issues down. Important role for us at this level is monitoring the revenues that are coming into the branch, making sure they're on track, adjusting the revenues, working with the Department of Finance and the legislature on those things. We have staff that are engaged in managing cash advances for the trial courts. Notwithstanding the fund balance policy, there's been times where trial courts have needed cash advances, and so you're working with staff to get those cash advances. You can make payroll, things like that. So we're doing a lot, and we do provide statewide training, say on your listing of your positions, your what's called the 7A, the salaries and wages information. We do provide training, and so while there's sort of the formal training, there's also the every phone call in one way or the other is some sort of training. We've done special training for new CEOs, CFOs. So we are a resource here for you, and you know we welcome any of your questions, and we'll do the best we can to answer them. And if not, we'll work to get there. But I'm very lucky to have the staff that I do. So let's get down to the sort of where the money comes from. So state general fund, it's your general tax revenues. It's shown as an add to our trial court trust fund. That's where we spend our trial court money out of. It's a trial court trust fund. And there was, in the 12-13 fiscal year, the share of our overall branch expenditures from the from the general fund was to a low of 20%. I mean, at one point, we were at a high of 56% of our branch budget was from the general fund. And in 12-13, we were down to 20%. The governor's budget and the budget act upped it to a little over 30%, but that's still a substantial reduction in terms of where our money has been coming from. So just appreciate that we are now converted to some extent to more of a user-based operation, and that has its problems. It creates access issues. So while we've done what we can, we've increased fees by $120 million to cover the gap in what's been cut to what we've unfortunately had to allocate to the trial courts. $120 million in fee increases is a tremendous increase and a tremendous burden on our users. And I suspect that you could all imagine that there are access issues and, you know, reduced access because of those fees being prohibitively high. Trial court trust fund, like I said, it's the core expenditure area for the trial courts. And it gets money from the state general fund, county funds coming through maintenance of effort. When we had trial court funding, there were county contributions and revenues and expenditures. We also have fees coming from resources, and then there's other fines and fees that we've increased to generally support the trial court trust fund. To give you some context, in 12-13, these were the estimated revenues. Like I said, the general fund was down to its lowest amount in many, many, many years at $280 million. Fees and assessments, $700 million. Monies from expenditure, MOEs from the counties of approximately $500 million. So we were in this year about $1.9 billion of revenues in the trial court trust fund. And then we have how we distributed the funds. What was the reason that looks a little bit unusual in terms of the big negative is because what we did was, per the law, how we distributed the funds in 12-13, we should have been distributing $1.7 billion for general court operations. If you see down, there's a large negative. We ended up, because of budget cuts, had to then reduce the allocations out to the trial courts with the expectation that you would use fund balances. Just in quick fund balances, 2 years ago, we're at $560 million. Last year, they were $530 million. We're still not done with this fiscal year, so we're not sure what the numbers will be, but they'll be reduced by a couple of hundred million dollars likely by the end of this fiscal reporting period. You see that the trial court trust fund also funds assigned judges. It funds judicial compensation, so it's not just for trial court operations. There are other court expenditures that occur out of the trial court trust fund. Another important fund that we fund, not necessarily the direct operational cost of trial courts, but many important programs are funded out of what's called the, I call it the IMF because I just don't want to say all those other words. The State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, as it says, it funds statewide information technology, things like self-help centers at $505 million, litigation management, complex litigation. Some of CJER's expenditures are funded out of there. Some of my own budget is funded. The cost of this, the Budget Advisory Committee, is funded out of this fund. So it's sort of a cats and dogs, but very important fund. The IT expenditures for LAN-WAN and telecom data, it's like over $30 million is spent on that to support the trial courts. So very important fund, and we will be discussing that at a future meeting in terms of its allocation. But again, it's a very important fund, and in fact, part of its funding has been used to offset trial court cuts. We've transferred $20 million out of this fund to offset trial court operational cuts. Now, don't be alarmed at the complexity of this little flow chart, but it's just sort of give you a sense as to where the money comes from, where does it go, because people say, well, you know, how is the branch funded? Where did the trial courts get their money? Well, you all have some level of local revenues, and that's not reflected here, because these are just state funds. And so just be mindful that we're dealing with what is happening at the state funding level, not at the local revenue level. So you all have differing levels and ability to generate local revenues. Those are a supplement to that bottom right-hand corner of the trial court operations. But sort of to align with what the prior chart was, we have court users and counties providing us a large amount of – yes, Sean?
Just had a question on a couple slides back, the trial court trust fund. That one. Mm-hmm. Are the other categories, like assigned judges and some of the other items on there, is that by code or is that by policy?
They're separately programmed in the budget, so they're a different line item. So if you were to look at the actual detail of the budget, there is a program 4510, which is the state trial court operations. There is a specific line in the budget for judicial compensation, a specific line for assigned judges. So the budget has established the breakout. So in essence, the law of the budget is that they're separately identified. And I think that they're separately, the Department of Finance in building that budget funds assigned judges, interpreters, and judicial compensation, I believe, as general fund expenses, whereas the trial court allocations are the mix of general fund and all the other funding sources. But I don't know the history as to why they were broken out that way. I mean, in some in some cases, it's a matter of transparency, seeing all the individual line items, because the state pays for judges' compensation rather than the trial courts. That was specifically called out. So I don't know if there's anything you can add on that, Stephen. I think, okay, good. I'm learning.
Does that answer your question, Sean?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we have court users. Again, that's been an increasing reliance on court users to fund the branch. As I said, counties providing their MOE, both revenue and expenditure contributions, the state general fund. Some portions of revenues based on statutory splits may be diverted into the improvement and modernization fund, so you can see that there. In some cases, there are direct allocations from the general fund, in particular benefits. So here's an issue where when benefits became a separately funded item in the budget, the Department of Finance had that specifically appropriated, meaning they wanted to see that line item in the budget. But by and large, as you can see, most of the money is flowing into the trial court operations. So, and while we used to have money when the trial court trust fund had additional resources to fund things like the statewide case management system, when that was ceased, the revenues that were earmarked for that became part of the flow to the trial court operation. So there was no spending of that at the state level on CCMS. So we're basically spending as much as we can out of the trial court trust fund that it can reasonably manage given the revenues. You still have to have sort of fiscal prudence, and you can't spend all of the money that comes into the trust fund because of its fluctuations. But we're basically distributing every dollar that we can to trial court operations or the specified line items that are in the budget for it. Wanted to just briefly touch on the facilities funds, because that folks are aware that they do fund our construction and our facility modification and maintenance programs, but they have been relied upon to fund operational costs. There have been clear hard decisions that have had to be made by the council in terms of reducing its plan to build facilities, maintain facilities, and that's, you know, making it difficult to manage and aging facilities. That's one reason why the state took them over, was to what? To make sure that they're operating safely, appropriately, and properly. So we have three funds, the Court Facilities Trust Fund. That's where we get our county facility payments. Basically, that's for the amounts that we collect from the counties. We turn around and put those back into the facilities that were transferred to the state. State Court Facilities Construction Fund was the first of the two major bills passed that created a construction programs. We have been tapping into that fund, and it, as you can see, it's to rehabilitate, renovate, replace. Next is the immediate and critical needs account, which is a sub-account of the one I just mentioned. And what I'll say here is that fund, the law was changed last year by the Department of Finance to actually allow the ICNA to be used, as we call it, the ICNA, to actually now fund operations. And there's a $50 million transfer that the Department of Finance proposed, and has been in the budget now for 2 years, that pulls money out of that fund and goes to offset cuts to the trial courts. So they've now taken what has been was established initially as a construction program fund and converted it and allowed it to be used for operational costs. And so that's sort of a major policy change. And you know, there are folks there that think that, you know, if we can't afford to build, we should be supporting operations. But there are, you know, obviously aging courts that really need a lot of attention. And every time we dip into this fund, it does make it more difficult for us to manage those programs. Question? And finally, to give you sort of a status to where we are relative to budget cuts and give you a sense as to what happened, the top portion of the chart, and hopefully you folks can read it, and we'll get this out to you. As of the 13-14 fiscal year, the branch will have had its general fund and other funds reduced for operations by $723 million. as compared to our total branch expenditures in 7-8, that's almost a 20% reduction. And you can see in terms of the large numbers, we have the trial courts there at 20%. But the bottom half is where it's sort of the realized cuts. It's what after we've done to offset cuts, when we've done the $50 million in transfer from the ICNA to the operations, when we have the $120 million of fee increases, where does that get us? When we have the $20 million of redirections from the Improvement and Modernization Fund, when we move the trial court trust fund revenues that otherwise would have been spent on case management to offset cuts, the trial courts go from $663 million down to $415. By no means is that a small number. That is a debilitating and crippling cut operationally to the trial courts. But you can see that's one reason why you hear the governor saying, and even the legislative folks saying, well, we've taken measures to reduce the budget or the impacts of the cuts. But $600 million to $400 million, that's still $400 million of lost revenues. And it's not come at a cheap price because, again, we have halted important programs. We have diverted money from important programs to bring that number to that number. So $415 is a substantial reduction, and that's after the $60 million that was added by the legislature this last budget act. It would have been even worse. So just sort of in context here, yes, the story is they have – the branch has not been hit by the full amount. I mean, there is, have been offsets, but not enough. Not enough. What we need is reinvestment, a general fund. We shouldn't be putting on the backs of our court users any additional fees. Our construction programs can't sustain any additional reductions. We really need reinvestment of general fund to the branch. So with that, that is the end of the presentation. We're done a little bit early. Hopefully I didn't talk too fast. If there are questions, please feel free. If there are any comments or anything anybody can provide in terms of insight, would be very helpful. Yes, Judge Walsh.
Could you explain the BCPs and what an individual court should be thinking about, or is it just a wish list that will never happen?
Well, historically, as I understand it, trial courts would look at their individual needs, submit them to the AOC, who would sort of collect them, try and put them in similar sorts of themes, and then they would be put through to the budget working group, who would then identify priority areas that would then be forwarded to the council for consideration to submit to the Department of Finance. So not every BCP, which is a budget change proposal, ultimately was submitted to the Department of Finance for consideration. And we are going to have a discussion later on this afternoon about the budget change proposals. But there tend to be themes that we all have the same kind of operational needs. So there are issues like benefit costs, security costs, the cost of the realignment workload, those sorts of things. But what we want to try and get in is input from this group as to what other things you think we should be exploring. Because ultimately, when you tell us that we need to submit a BCP, we have to turn around and ask you for the information. So it's a process where we will be inundating you with surveys of data to collect in terms of information. But so that was what the historical process was. There were just all these BCPs that were submitted. And then the Department of Finance worked out with the legislature and the branch this idea of this state appropriations limit adjustment. And for 3 years, the answer was, you are going to get this growth, live within that growth, distribute those funds to the trial courts, and we don't want to see all the individual cost budget change proposals. But now when SAL was ended and we were in the cut mode, the only thing that we really got in terms of any, and I'll sort of say in quotes, automatic increases were for benefits, which even this year weren't treated as they should have been. So that's been the only thing we've really gotten funding for in terms of sort of ongoing baseline costs. So this process, we are going to be engaging in a sort of specific budget change proposal submissions, some that we were well already aware of in terms of case management systems, security, the realignment funding to the extent that the funding is not insufficient. But we're going to be asking for your input so that we can, as staff, turn around and start collecting and developing in more detail the justified budget change proposals. And our hope is that in light of the economic turnaround, that our budget change proposals will be looked at more favorably than they have in the past. Generally, there weren't BCPs being approved for any other branch or state entity, and so we're hopefully now we can get a position where we can get some relief in addition to whatever our branch sort of reinvestment is to address the $470 million of general fund reductions.
What finance won't accept is individual BCPs from courts. They've told us that multiple times. They'll just reject that out of hand. There are still discussions, though, that we have had with finance and are continuing on with some kind of a replacement for SAL. They don't like to call it the same thing, but that is the dialogue. You recall that we meet with the Department of Finance on a monthly basis, and so that will be part of the discussions that will take place in the August meeting with DOF in terms of what looks like a replacement for SAL so that there can be some adjustments to the budgets going forward.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? And again, if you don't think of anything now, please feel free to email us. We will get back to you as best we can. With that, I think we have about 10 minutes, so maybe we'll take a break, and then we'll start back up again at 10 o'clock when or 11 o'clock, I'm sorry, when the business meeting will begin.
We'll also need probably to squeeze a few more chairs in, so we'll do that over the break as well. All right, we'll go off the air and take a break till 11 o'clock.